for many years, and I've been traveling. I've been serving with BMS now. This is my 7th year. I come from Malaysia, and I've been traveling only in the last 6 years to different churches. I think first to have this sense of privilege and gratitude that God in His goodness have used the Baptist churches in the UK to be a source of blessings around the world. And in some significant but small and yet a deep way, this morning, Darren reminded me during COVID, and we found this minutes of about the formations of the Baptist Missionary Society found in the archives of this church. And maybe just to do a bit of a dialogue, would you guess what year was BMS founded as stated in this minute, apart from maybe the minister? Anybody who would like to guess, when was BMS founded as stated in the minutes of this church? In Kettering. So obviously, maybe somebody in the past were part of this Baptist group that they're having this vision about world mission, and BMS was founded in the year? Just a guess for fun. No penalties if you guess wrongly. Anyone? 1800? 1937? 1922? It was earlier than that. Somebody? 1750? That's quite close. So this is the original minutes of a meeting held on October the 2nd, 1792 in Kettering. So BMS was one of the earliest Protestant mission society that's found in the world. So the early Baptists, we were small, independent, no hierarchy, and yet when they have this vision, like the song this morning, a vision of the glory of God, they all combine together. And what is so wonderful is over 231 years, we the Baptists continue to collaborate. So for example, in recent times, out of the Ukraine war, we saw all this mission or development aid, United Nations, World Vision, or Tier Fund could enter in because of our associations with Ukrainian Baptists. You at the Worcester Baptist have given generously out of your offering a number of times, and BMS collected over £2 million, and it continues. We continue to receive this and channel to the UK and Baptist. So BMS is really a Baptist mission society, but because we are able to combine our resources, we send over 60 UK mission personnel around the world, but increasingly the trend is to collaborate with the global church. And your church, for example, not only support Dave and Michelle McMahon, the Mahons from the UK, serving in Peru, but you are also linked with Genesis Akaya. Thanks for Malcolm, reminding me of your close relationship with Genesis serving in Gulu in northern Uganda among Muslim people. So BMS now have 400 international workers, such as Genesis. Increasingly, we don't have as many UK mission workers, but we continue to partner with the global church. So I'm here firstly to say thank you. Many of you have been faithful supporters, even through your prayers, but also through your generous giving. With that in mind, let's look at what is God saying to us through the story of Ruth? And we want to focus on Ruth, Naomi, Boaz as ordinary people, just like the Baptists of those times, that God will encourage you and I, that today too, God has a mission, has a purpose for your life, for a mission in this church, as well as for BMS. The context of the story that was read to us. Is it by Jenny? Is it? And it's about God giving birth to this child to show that God is working behind the scene. In our human eyes, we may not always see it, but God was working behind the scene during the time of Judges, or what they call the dark and dismal period of Judges. And I was reminded of the song again that we will not be overwhelmed. Often in times of illness, in times of famine, in times of cost of living crisis, sometimes we are overwhelmed. And my prayer is that through this story, God will inspire us again on this glory and the vision of God. So what we find is that God works sometimes, firstly, through apparent chances of life. In the book of Ruth, it says that in chapter 2, verse 3, that Ruth went to this field, and by chance, she entered into Boaz's field. The Hebrew translation, the literal reading, reads like this: she happened by chance to come to Boaz's field, who happened by chance to come from the family of Elimelech. So earlier in chapter 1, we get the story of Naomi during times of famine, during times of death and bitterness. Naomi was full of bitterness. In Ruth chapter 2, by chance, this Ruth ended up into a field. Of all the fields, by chance, she ended up into Boaz's field. And Boaz, by chance, was related to this family of Elimelech. Now, in the Hebrew custom, the Jewish custom, if somebody passed away, earlier we read about the death of the two sons, and this Ruth could marry anyone, but first option is through the nearest kin, and it tells us about this relationship. Now, one writer, a commentator called R. Horace, commenting on this verse, chapter 2, verse 3, says that the labeling of Ruth meeting Boaz as a chance, by chance, is nothing more than the author's way of saying no human intent was involved for Ruth and Boaz. To human eyes, it was an accident, but not for God. So he's trying to tell us that in the whole book of Ruth, people say that God was not presented as a direct person. All the direct actors were human actors. It's about Naomi in chapter 1, Ruth in chapter 2, and then Boaz in chapter 3 and chapter 4. So the labeling of God working was behind the scene. The people who acted were the human actors. And I want to pause this morning. I'm not sure how are you feeling. Sometimes in Asia, the greeting is, "How's your heart? Are you having a good heart? Are you having a good feeling?" Well, sometimes we, like Naomi, face famine, face death, illnesses, sadness, and that's part of our human heart. But today, maybe God is reminding us. And one of the ways that God can lift up our hearts for this church, we do not know, we need to pray for the leadership. There are important decisions to be made. We need to say it is not through human accidents. Heather and someone else been welcomed into church membership, coming from London. Of all the places, you end up in Worcester. What is great about Worcester? Well, it is not human planning. And of all the churches you could have gone to, you have maybe sometimes you look at it, could be by chance you end up in this church. But through human eyes, we may see it by chance. And that story can be repeated to each of you from different nations, from different contexts. For some of you, how did you meet your wife or your husband? Right? And you all, by chance, went up to the same places. No? But all these chances of life that God has worked through us, just like Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. So there are a lot of coincidences in our life, and sometimes life's events can bring us down, and we can be discouraged. Friends, my prayer, just as for those ordinary people like Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, my prayer is that you will have a good heart today. Receive the word of encouragement from the Lord. And I'm conscious that for BMS today, we are living in great changes. There's a decline of Christianity in the Western world, but in the 200 years of BMS Baptist missionaries going to all the nations, we have seen churches grown in Africa, in Latin America, and in Asia. So the big shift for BMS, you say, is no longer from the West to the rest. Now, in human eyes, we may say there's a decline of the church, but not to God. Because God is causing the global church to come together with the churches in Britain. So we are still relevant today. We are still having impact around the world, but often through partnership, through collaboration. And God continued to work in his life. So the first lesson that I pray that we will think back to us is say, look at the chances in life. It may be through human eyes, we can get down. We have a sad heart. Whatever is your circumstance, but when you are reminded to the God that is behind the scene, how he brought you to Christ, how he used relationship in this church, how he has led you to a particular job, and maybe you're facing important decisions in life, say there is a God behind the scene. The way that the book of Ruth is presenting to us is about a God who is sovereignly at work. Although he was not presented as working directly as a director, working through human actors, he is in control of human history. And the way the writer uses it is where we have read, Jenny read to us in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. There are only two occurrences in the book of Ruth where God is presented as directly at work. And one is in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. It says that Yahweh visited his people in giving them food to indicate of a God who works behind the scene. And then the writer would not mention God explicitly again until the end of the book. So God was acting at Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, and then God was behind the scene. It's all human actors making decisions. And then in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, it says that Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and Yahweh, God, enables her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. So the beginning and at the end, God was acting, but in between, it's all about human this making that direct decision. So the lesson for us today is not only God works through apparent chances in life, but that we are to make those important choices which align with the purposes of God. Even when those times that we may see no way, even when those times that we could not fully understand, because through human eyes, it was an accident, but not to God. So we find here, the lesson for us is that people like Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz has to make decisions. And there's no suggestion of fatalism. You know, again, this writer says total control is exercised by God, but it did not limit the human characters And this is an important lesson sometimes. You know, we need to make those choices. And it says that we make choices, and yet it has lasting implication. So let us close by looking at one or two applications of the end of the story. For example, we find that just as in the book of Ruth, as well as in real life, that all of us will end up towards the end of a journey by receiving our due. And the lessons in the book of Ruth is that those who trusted God will receive life, joy, and eternal participation in the kingdom of God. The book of Ruth is about two things. One is no physical seed, the grain, no food, and there's no spiritual seed. In the sense of Naomi having no future, Ruth having no husband. So the whole plot of the story of Ruth is about no physical seed, human grain, physical grain, but also no ancestry, no descendants coming about. So there's no future if you have no husband and then you have no food. But the story, of course, you know, today we don't look at it that way because spiritually that's more important. Physical descendants, right? The story is talking about the kingdom of God. So we find, for example, where we have read earlier in the scripture passage in Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, is that Orpah and Ruth, these choices, they lift their voices and wept. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. With that fatal kiss, Orpah dies spiritually. We don't hear about Orpah and her descendants. We assume that she returned to her Moabite ancestors and God. But for Ruth, it says that your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. So as a result, the blessings for Ruth is not only she married Boaz, she became blessed physically, but she also had son. And only towards the end of the book of Ruth, in the last verse, it gives the ancestry from the story of Ruth, and that Ruth finds herself in history as the grandmother of King David. Ruth, this foreigner, this Moabite woman, migrant, poor, the reversal of fortune, if she became the grandmother of King David, and then in the New Testament, the genealogy in Matthew traced back from Jesus' ancestry came from Ruth himself. So in closing, we say that today, just as in the book of Ruth, God is reminding us in two things. One is he continued to work through apparent chances, and he still have a plan and purpose for us. And some of us, we may be feeling we're elderly, we don't have all the time and the strength, but God's purpose may be for us to pray for his kingdom, pray for this church, pray for the community, pray for BMS, pray for the work of the nation, pray for the Middle East, as we did today, pray for Ukraine. And that is our human choices. And God will accomplish his will and his purposes. But then secondly, for us to be reminded that not only God works through apparent chances, he also works sovereignly through our human choices. So my prayer is that you will continue to be active members of the church here, but also to be reminded of the kingdom of God, because the human choices have fatal consequences. Do not be like Orpah and eclipse into the salvation history of God. Be like Ruth and the little things we do, to our surprise, that God will multiply his kingdom to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that through human eyes, we often forget that you are the God who works behind the scene. So lift up our hearts to have a vision of the King of Glory. Encourage us that we are ordinary people, but you achieve extraordinary things beyond our human comprehension. For you are the sovereign God. May you continue to encourage us, those who are serving you faithfully in this church, but also many of us who seemingly through human accidents, we are part of this church, that may you unite us to worship you as the King of Glory, but also be united in the mission of God. Both here in Worcester, you still have a plan and a purposes beyond us, as well as for the mission of this world. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Kang-san. We're going to close by singing What a Beautiful Name. So please stand if you can.